1010 WOLB Baltimore and WERQ-FM, HD3 Baltimore. Serving the African-American community for over 44 years. We are 1010 WOLB.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear on 1010 WOLB
are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio 1, its sponsors, or advertisers.
It's done unto you as you believe. It's done unto you as you believe.
I'm gonna get there just somehow.
Believe in the possibilities that we can do better, be better each and every time that we get together here on the Patrick Henderson's Meet the People radio program. I want to say grand rising to each and every one of you listening, hopefully, and joining us this morning around the country and around the globe. We have so many folks that listen to us internationally, and we want to thank them. They are part of Patrick Henderson's legacy. Some of them have had the opportunity to see him perform live in their countries and have been huge followers of the program for many years. And we are celebrating 15 years being here on WOLB 1010 AM, where information is power. Just want to, again, thank each and every one of you for tuning in and joining us this morning. We're live in the studio today. I want to apologize. I tried to get the live stream jump-started. And most folks know that I am a live stream guru, but for some reason couldn't get the live stream device going this morning. And just want to apologize to those who do follow us online. Hopefully you'll have the opportunity to tune into WOLBBaltimore.com and follow us there. Today, family, we have a great program lined up for you, part of our programming where we try to bring in the experts in particular fields and industries and get a better understanding exactly as to what is going on in these industries so that we can lobby and fight for better services, better rates, better regulation for our community. And our hopes is to do that today with our guest. We're going to be joined by Michael DeLong, with the Consumer Federation of America, and we're going to be talking about insurance, particularly auto insurance, why we pay high rates in the urban community versus other communities, and we're hoping to understand how can we lobby and maybe hopefully join forces with the organization Consumer Federation of America, which is made up of 250 nonprofit pro-consumer nonprofit organizations fighting for everything from credit card regulations to better rates paying as far as insurance and discrimination as far as access to insurance. So our hopes is with this program today, family, is to get a better understanding of the auto insurance industry, especially here in the state of Maryland, and to really understand how do we begin to lobby for better regulation and better rates for our community. Before we get to that, as always, family, I'm going to ask that you please look at helping us and supporting this program by giving a kind donation to our program. If you'd like to find out all the wonderful ways that you can contribute to the program, we have electronic means. You can send a check-in. There are so many different ways to do so. Family, please, so that we can continue to come on longer and stronger and continue to bring you strong information for our community. If you'd like to get in contact with me to find out the ways to contribute to the program, please reach out to me after the show, not now. Remember I said after the show. Please reach out to me after the show, family. It's 443-682-5586. Again, the phone number is 443-682-5586. And remember, this program is being brought to you and sponsored by People Empowered by the Struggle. Again, if you choose not to contribute to People Empowered by Struggle, People Empowered by the Struggle, our nonprofit organization, please let us know, by all means. It's not a foul. It doesn't hurt our feelings in any way. Do understand that we get our funding from nowhere else. Although they like to put us in the category of the grant chasing task force, folks that are out there that are chasing grants down, unfortunately, we have not been that blessed and privileged. And don't get us wrong, we have applied for grants and we've applied for funding for our organization. Everything that we do in reference to People Empowered by the Struggle is done strictly through the organic donations that we get from the community. A dollar here, $10 here. Someone may hand us a $20 and say, here, use this for the organization, even if it's just to get you gas around the city so that you can continue to reach out to these families. So, and we thank each and every one of you if you decide to do that. Again, it is not an obligation. If you want to contribute solely to the radio program, by all means, let me know that. Tell me that in advance, family. Anything that you want to contribute directly to the radio show, we have the receipts and we'll prove the receipts and show you the receipts that your contribution went directly to the radio show. We're hoping that in many cases you would consider donating to our organization. And many times the advocacy that a lot of times Yolanda Pulley, who is the founder of People Empowered by the Struggle, that she actually engages, a lot of times that comes from you, the listeners. It is your concerns. It is your pain points. It is your issues within the community that she hears, and many times she immediately takes into action. I told y'all last week, I look at this program in some cases as like the bat symbol. We're throwing the bat symbol up each week, letting you know that People Empowered by the Struggle exist and that we're here to serve you if you need our services. And if you do need our services for whatever reason, again, we are a one-stop shop for all struggles. No matter what you may be going through in the city, reach out to us. Allow us to help you to navigate through those services that are available for whatever your plight may be going on currently. And we're not just bound to the city of Baltimore. We've helped folks in Baltimore County, and we've also helped folks outside of the area as well. If you need us, reach out to us. Reach out to Yolanda Pulley. The phone number is 443-355-8014. Again, the number is 443-355-8014. And with that, I'm going to bring up our team. Our team is all ready to engage, and our guest is locked and loaded in the newsbreaker line, and we're going to get to him in a second, Mr. DeLong. But first, I want to get to our distinguished host of our show. One of our hosts is on the line this morning, Linda Batts. Good morning, my sister.
Good morning, Jason, and good morning, beautiful Baltimore. I am going to just be silent as we welcome our guest on. I'm excited about the conversation, and I know that our listening public have a lot of questions about the insurance industry as they affect our lives and our wallets. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Jason.
Yep. And I believe that we don't have our dear sister. Do we have our dear sister Mary Hughes with us today? Is Mary Hughes on the line, Sean, our board operator? And while I'm waiting for a response. No, hold on. No, I was asking for, again, is Mary Hughes on the line? Okay, all right. So Mary Hughes is not with us today, but hopefully she'll join us later on this afternoon. And, of course, Yolanda Pulley is always listening as well. Family, joining us on our Newsbreaker line, is a gentleman who is just part of one organization that's out there fighting for pro-consumer issues. Everyone has experienced frustration from unexpected credit card fees and concerns about product safety, and it's easy to feel alone against large companies and complex regulations. But what if there is a team fighting for consumer rights? Today, our focus is on the Consumer Federation of America, and they have been a voice for consumers since 1968, working for a fairer, safer, and a more just marketplace. The CFA, the Consumer Federation of America, works as a consumer advocate. Works as consumer advocates, ensuring consumers' interests are heard. The Consumer Federation of America is an association of nearly 250 nonprofit organizations, all united for consumers. They address financial services, food safety, housing market, insurance industry, and so much more. According to Charity Navigator, they are given a 96% score for accountability and financial practices. The Consumer Federation of America is a recognized force in consumer advocacy in Washington, D.C. And the Consumer Federation of America's model is that they are on your side, making sure your voice matters. Family, please join us for welcoming Mr. Michael DeLong, who is the Research and Advocacy Associate for the Consumer Federation of America's campaign for fair auto insurance. Mr. DeLong has worked with the Consumer Federation of America to help make car insurance fairer and more affordable for everyone. He also fights against discrimination in insurance. Before this, Mr. DeLong helped people with healthcare issues, and even worked with several. Please give a warm welcome to the Consumer Federation of America's representative, Mr. Michael DeLong. Good morning, Mr. DeLong.
Thank you very much for having me. This is Michael, and I'm really glad to be here.
I hope I did you justice in reference to, you know, giving, you know, your due in reference to what you do in the industry in reference to pro-consumer advocacy. I hope I did that well for you this morning.
Yeah, you did. Great. I really appreciated it. Very kind words.
So, Mr. DeLong, what we're trying to do here today is to really mobilize our community to first understand the landscape of insurance and why is it seems that in our community we end up paying higher rates. But we also want to try to help us to mobilize and maybe in some cases formulate a partnership if there's not already a partnership there with the Consumer Federation of America and helping us to lobby for better regulations and better rates. First, let's start with your organization. Can you please explain to us exactly what it is that your organization, Consumer Federation of America, does for consumers?
Yeah, Consumer Federation of America, we do a lot of advocacy for consumers at with both state governments and the federal government. As you said, we've got almost 250 members, state and local members, and we work on a lot of different issues like putting comments on regulations, advocating with legislators, educating consumers, and we work on a lot of different topics including stopping financial exploitation, product safety, making housing more affordable, food policy and safety, and insurance. I work mostly on homeowners insurance and auto insurance.
You know, there's a policy, you know, currently in D.C. Going after the Section 8 program. We may have to bring your organization in to talk about housing because that's another pain point here in the state of Maryland when it comes to those in our community. But let's today, you know, let's stay with insurance. And one of the things that we really wanted to talk to you about was, you know, there has been things that have been identified as to why, in many cases, the urban community pays higher rates. For instance, one of them being public safety. It is known here in the state of Maryland, Mr. DeLong, that ratepayers for auto insurance pay more in Baltimore City than they do in Baltimore County. And a lot of folks say the contributing factor is, of course, there are more auto thefts in the city than there are the county. We also pay higher rates because of credit reports or credit worthiness. You know, they utilize credit for qualification to be able to pay your monthly premium for auto insurance. In many cases, we know that we are credit challenged in our community. You know, Mr. DeLong, you know, there's been comics that have said this, you know, that, you know, we sometimes destroy our children's credit by putting, you know, the cable bill and the electric bill in their names, and by the time they become credit worthy legally, their credit is ruined. You know, we are credit challenged many times in our community, and we see that, especially just recently, I had my auto insurance renewed, and because of a default, my daughter, I was a co-signer for a vehicle, and because of a default, I ended up jumping up in insurance rates, and I was told that it was because my credit rating came back differently than it did when I originally started my premium for my insurance. So we see these disparities that tends to, you know, seem to target our community. Are there any other disparities that you know of besides, like, those particular disparities or those particular, you know, industry standards that they tend to look at that tends to only be, in some cases, targeted towards the urban community?
Yeah, actually. Auto insurance is a little bit of a strange product because the Maryland requires, if you have a car, you're required to have and maintain auto insurance. But it doesn't do a good job, the state doesn't do a good job of making sure that this product is affordable. And auto insurance is almost all regulated at the state level. The federal government doesn't have a lot to do with it. And auto insurance companies in Maryland, unfortunately, they're allowed to use a lot of unfair non-driving factors to charge you more. You mentioned credit scores, which are one of the worst factors used. We actually did a report a couple years ago, which I'm happy to share with you, on credit scores and auto insurance. And we found that people with poor credit, they pay a lot more for auto insurance, even if they have perfect driving records. We looked at information from Maryland in 2020, and we found that statewide, Maryland consumers, if you had a perfect driving record and excellent credit, your average annual premium was $805, which isn't too bad. But if you had a perfect driving record and fair credit, your average premium went up to $1,116. And if you were a good driver and you had poor credit, your average premium was $1,422. That's over $600 more, and that's a 77% increase. And other factors that we found that auto insurance companies use to charge people more, they charge you more based on your job or occupation. We found that they charge people more if they work as like a cashier or a waiter as opposed to a lawyer or an investment banker. They charge you more based on your education level. We found that drivers who only graduated from high school pay more compared to if you graduated from college. They charge you more based on your homeownership status. If you rent your home, some companies charge you higher premiums. Some companies charge you more based on your gender. A lot of companies charge people more based on whether they're single. They charge single, divorced, or widowed people more than married people. They claim that this is because married people are somehow more reliable and more stable. And all of this, they also charge people a lot more based on your zip code. We did a report, actually, a few years ago with our member organization here in Maryland, Economic Action Maryland, on auto insurance premiums in Maryland zip codes. And we found that, unfortunately, as the number of black residents in the zip code went up, the auto insurance premium went way, way up. So it's incredibly unfair, and it's something we really are trying to do a lot of stuff about this.
So Jason, may I ask a question, please, sir?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And we have Linda Bass on the line, Ms.
Thank you so much for outlining the various ways in which these disparities surface in the automobile industry and what have you. And my question is, what specifically can the individual do, and what specifically can be done structurally and systemically to provide relief. In those instances where, for example, you found that different classes of people were charged more for a reason that really wasn't legitimate or didn't make sense, was there guidance given or were there determinations made about what the appropriate relief or censure should be in those instances for those industries or companies that are doing that?
Thanks for your question. Unfortunately, I don't think so. A lot of what happened is that, frankly, most people aren't even aware that auto insurance companies are doing this. They're using your credit score or your job or occupation or other things to charge you more. We have a bunch of tips for what to do to try and get a better deal, but we're also putting like big structural changes. What individual people can do, first off, we recommend if you can shop around, try to compare quotes from multiple auto insurance companies, find the best rate. It can be well worth your time to spend an hour or two, get online quotes, and find a company that can hopefully save you money. Second, check your credit score. As we said, insurance companies, they use credit scores to set premiums. And a lot of people, unfortunately, there are errors on their credit reports. If there are any mistakes on their report, try and correct them. Focus on improving your credit score as well, because that will save you money in the long run. Other things, if you've updated your driving habits, if you're driving less due to, like, say, remote work, or if you got a new job, you can also get discounts by taking a defensive driving course. And if possible, you can pay in full your premium. Of course, that will often get you a discount from your company. But, of course, that also requires you have the money to be able to pay your premium in full, which a lot of people do not. So what we are also pushing for is big structural reforms. Like we have with the Maryland legislature over the last several years been pushing legislators to ban the use of these non-driving factors in auto insurance, saying auto insurance companies should charge you more, should charge you based on your driving record. They shouldn't charge you more based on your credit score or whether you only graduated from high school or whether you work as a waiter or anything else along those lines. And we've actually testified in support of a whole bunch of bills in the Maryland legislature that have been considered over the last few years. Unfortunately, the insurance industry is very large, makes a lot of money, and very well organized, and so they've been trying to block these bills and testifying against them, and they've got a fair amount of sway with the legislators. And part of the issue is that most people, as we said, don't know about these harmful factors, and so we're trying to mobilize people and consumers to push back against the insurance industry.
Any anticipation of litigation?
I'm sorry, go ahead. Mary, repeat the question. I'm sorry.
No, but Linda, is there any litigation anticipated or being planned?
Yes, there's been a bunch of lawsuits filed against auto insurance companies for using these factors. A lot of people think these factors are really unfair. They've filed lawsuits saying that these factors, like say your credit score, other things, should be banned. Unfortunately, in most states, the judges haven't been particularly friendly. In a lot of places, in most states, for example, like credit scores in auto insurance aren't explicitly banned, and so a lot of the courts have ruled that, well, if the state government is allowing this, it's permitted. And Maryland's law, unfortunately, expressly allows the auto insurance companies to consider your credit score, which we think is quite unfair and which we're trying to get repealed. So there are lawsuits, but in Maryland, unfortunately, they're probably not going to have that much of an impact. And in Maryland, insurance is regulated by the Maryland Insurance Administration, which is the state agency that's in charge of protecting consumers. We do have a new commissioner there, Murray Grant, who's more consumer-friendly than past consumers, and we've been working with her and trying to get her to adopt better stances. Part of the issue is also that it's hard a lot of the time to find accurate information about auto insurance costs, how much they are, how serious the problem is. And so we're pushing her to both collect that information and lobby the Maryland legislature.
And Mr. DeLong, we're going to have the insurance commissioner on a program on these airwaves, actually the Larry Young morning show, which airs before us. They will be on next week. So we're hoping that some of the questions and some of the topics that we talk about today will truly be instrumental and helping her to understand what it is as ratepayers we are dealing with. But I have a question in reference to the whole credit thing. Should credit necessarily be a factor, especially since Maryland's COMAR does regulate the fact that you have to have insurance or else you face additional penalties, even a revocation of your license and suspension of driving privileges? Why should this be on as a factor when the state already governs and assures, the compliance?
Credit scores shouldn't be a factor in auto insurance. They should be banned. What our reports and what previous studies have found is that when auto insurance companies charge you more based on your credit score, they charge people with fair or poor credit hundreds or even thousands of dollars more, which is a really big burden, especially for someone living paycheck to paycheck. We've also found that it's not really closely connected to risk. The auto insurance companies claim that credit scores are indicative of show how risky someone is, but when we ask, okay, can you show us the actual evidence that you have, they say, no, that's classified, and if releasing it would hurt competition, we're not going to show you this. We've also found in some past studies that people are actually paying more for credit if they have poor credit for auto insurance, if they have poor credit, than if they have a driving conviction. And that's just utterly ridiculous. Someone should not be paying more for auto insurance based on their credit score compared to if they have a drunk driving conviction. And we've also found that the use of these credit scores disproportionately tends to hurt Black and Latino consumers because of past and present discrimination. And so when they have this factor, credit scores, they claim is like neutral and based in facts, in reality it winds up in Black drivers often paying more. And it's especially unfair because if you don't have auto insurance in Maryland, you're not supposed to be able to drive. But in a lot of cases, you need a car to quickly get around to work, to go to school, to run errands and other things. And so people are faced with a terrible choice where they either have to take public transportation, which is often slow or unreliable, or they drive without insurance, which is illegal, puts themselves at risk of like being fined or going to jail, and it drives up costs for everyone.
Especially with the long arm of the state. And we have to hold the questions because we are at the top of the hour. But I was saying that with the long arm of the state, you know, it's impossible to run away from that FR-19 violation. Trust me, I know. I've paid plenty of times to CCU in the state of Maryland. Family, we're talking to Michael DeLong, who is the Research and Advocacy Associate for the Consumer Federation of America, and he's involved in the campaign for fair auto insurance with the organization. When we come back, we'll hear from you, and we'll also speak to Mr. DeLong to find out exactly what are our marching orders to be in reference to lobbying for better rates and better regulations for auto insurance payers. We'll be right back. You're listening to Patrick Henderson's Meet the People radio program. Tell somebody. Yell out your window right now and tell somebody we're on the air. We'll be right back.
This is not the time to get distracted. This is not the time to go off course. This is not the time to lose your focus. Got a work to do.
Talk in the day, soul at night, on the new 1010 WOLB.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, their award-winning tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Find the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief today for a free consultation.
Call 800-811-7033. 800-811-7033. 800-811-7033.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
1010 WOLB Baltimore and WERQ FM HD3 Baltimore. Serving the African American community for over 44 years. We are 1010 WOLB.
The views and opinions of the guests and host you hear are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio 1, its sponsors or advertisers.
People Radio program heard each and every Monday right here on 1010 WOLB, where information is power. Being brought to you live and direct today from the Dr. Kathy Hughes studio, family, and we are joined by Mr. Michael DeLong, who is the Research and Advocacy Associate for the Consumer Federation of America, working on fair auto insurance. And we're having a conversation with him, and it's just eye-opening, family, just to hear many of the different factors. We knew of some of the factors, but to hear of some of the other additional factors that play into what we pay each month in our auto insurance just truly is eye-opening. And if you heard a family, and if you may have missed, Mr. DeLong pointed out the fact that the auto insurance has a very powerful lobbying group that is in Annapolis every year, fighting for deregulation and fighting for favoritism in reference to their industry is concerned. It's important that we begin to mobilize, and then we're going to find out how we mobilize and get those orders from Mr. DeLong shortly, family, to understand how we lobby, how we push our legislators to bring more fairness and equity to the insurance auto industry here in the state of Maryland. And before we went to break, family, our dear sister Linda Batts had a question for Mr. DeLong. And if you'd like to join the conversation as well, family, 410-481-1010 is the number. Again, 410-481-1010 is the number. There is a line open for you. Linda, you had a question for Mr. DeLong.
Right, I have a question and a possible recommendation, and I'll start with the recommendation. Mr. DeLong, would you consider, or you and your organization, be amenable to a potential partnership with either 1010, the Patrick Henderson Show, and some other venues to sponsor a forum, an educational forum, workshop, symposium that will bring consumers and stakeholders and industry members together so that they can really have the time to understand and tease out some of the key points that you've brought out today, but also talk about what options they have. And those options are in fine print in every insurance policy that most people don't even consider or really even know. And so that's one point that I'd like to just throw out there, and perhaps you can respond and let Jason know how we can make something like that happen. The second thing is just to have some conversation about bundling of insurance. You hear many of these providers talk about getting a better rate if you bundle or collapse your homeowners and your automobile insurance into one policy or a policy that is supported by two arms of the same company, whether or not there are any benefits associated with that. And then last, if you have a chance, how the Joint Insurance Administration plays in and supports consumers who don't have homeowners insurance and need affordable policies to be covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great questions. First off, yeah, we'd be very interested in an educational forum on insurance, auto insurance, but also homeowners insurance. We possibly could work with our Maryland organization, Economic Action Maryland, which has done things like this in the past, And we've done things like, say, small forums, webinars, online presentations as well. So, yeah, we'd be interested in doing that, with the caveat we need to see what it would look like. But I would love to come here. I actually live in Maryland at Silver Spring, so I would love to come and talk. Your next question about bundling. Bundling is kind of interesting, but also a little tricky. The insurance companies really strongly promote bundling, and the idea behind this is that if you get an auto insurance policy and a homeowner's insurance policy with the other state, with the same company, and you combine them, they'll give you a discount. And this can be helpful for consumers, and you can get discounts, sometimes fairly substantial ones, which is good. But also, you need to have the money to buy both auto insurance and homeowner's insurance. And if you're, say, for example, a renter and don't have the money to buy a home because you're saving up, saying bundle your insurance doesn't really help because, well, your auto insurance is already quite expensive. You're saving up to buy a home and you don't have a home, so it's just not really helpful to you. There's also the issue that bundling, you should only bundle if you genuinely both need auto insurance and homeowners insurance and if it's a good deal for you. You shouldn't have bundle your insurance companies just because the company says so or because, like, say, for some other reason. And bundling it's not always like giving you discounts. There may be some cases, in fact, where you have auto insurance policy with one company and a homeowners insurance policy with yet another company, and that will be a better deal for you than attempting to bundle for whatever reason. And I apologize. Remind me of your third question.
It was about the Joint Insurance Administration, and their role in providing homeowners insurance.
Oh, the Joint Insurance Administration? Could you elaborate a little more on that?
Well, the Joint Insurance Administration, as I understand it, is an entity that will provide homeowners insurance for those people who are deemed highly close to being uninsured for homeowners insurance because of, I guess, claims history or failure to have a prior record of homeowners insurance or other variables that make homeowners insurance unaffordable for that individual.
Okay, yes, this is like MACE,
but for homes. Right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. It's the equivalent to MACE.
Yeah, this is one of the insurance companies of last resort. A lot of states have them. The Maryland Joint Insurance Administration, that provides insurance. They're supposed to provide insurance coverage to homeowners who can't get homeowners insurance through, like, the regular market from a private insurance company. That said, these sort of agencies, they perform a big service because everyone needs insurance. We've seen a lot of people recently talk about rising insurance costs, and some people have even suggested that I should go without insurance, which we strongly think that's a very bad idea. If you go without insurance, with homeowners insurance, first off, if you have a mortgage, your banker or bank is going to require it. And if you go without a homeowner's insurance, you're essentially taking a big gamble that nothing will happen to your home. And if your home is damaged or destroyed, like, say, a fallen tree or a storm or something, you are completely on the hook for repairing or rebuilding your home. And that can easily run into, like, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars, which most people don't have lying around. Federal government and the state government agencies will provide some aid and help to people if there's, like, a disaster or something, but it's usually nowhere near enough to, like, cover the cost of repairing or rebuilding your home. So, if this is the agency that you can only find insurance coverage with, yes, use them. Part of the issue is that these agencies of last resort, their coverage tends to not be as good. It tends to be more limited. And
you end up paying higher, don't you? You end up paying higher rates in some cases.
A lot of times, yes. Unfortunately, one of the things that a lot of these agencies do, this is kind of a stupid rule, is that they're supposed to have policies that are more expensive than any policy you can find in the private insurance market. The idea behind this is to try and discourage people from getting insurance from these companies, from these agencies. But people, again, the Maryland Joint Insurance Association is already there to provide coverage to people who can't find private insurance through like the normal homeowner insurance market. So requiring that their policies be more expensive, again, it's just another burdensome requirement, and we think that should be stopped.
Thank you so much.
Mr. DeLong joining us. Yeah, thank you. And Mr. DeLong joining us on the line is former mayoral candidate Yolanda Pulley, and one of our hosts of our show. She's joining us, and she has a question for you, I believe, as well. Yolanda?
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Hey, doing all right. Thank you.
Oh, great. I have a question. So even if our vehicles was never involved in a violent crime, does murders or violent crimes and murders contribute to high factor rates in certain zip codes? And do the insurance companies see that as a red flag? Like the crime score that's based on FBI data, homicide, assaults, and carjacking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. With regard to insurance, if, say, a neighborhood has a significant amount of violent crime or murders, that can affect some kinds of auto insurance coverage, like, say, for example, comprehensive and collision coverage. But the minimum required auto insurance that Maryland requires shouldn't be affected by that. What Maryland requires is minimum liability limits of $30,000 per person, $60,000 per accident for bodily injury, and $15,000 per accident for property damage. So what does that actually mean? Well, bodily injury liability insurance, this helps pay for someone else's like emergency services and medical care if you cause a car accident. It covers their lost income and wages. And Maryland also requires uninsured motorist limits of about $30,000 per person. And basically what this pays for is for car repairs, to replace the property in your car, your medical bills, any loss of wages that you have, and anything like that. So these kinds of insurance shouldn't be affected by any violent crime or murders. So, again, we think that violent crime and murder does play a role in rising insurance rates to a certain extent, but we also think that the insurance companies are often using that as an excuse to charge people unfairly high rates. And to, as we said before, they charge you a lot more based on your credit score, your neighborhood, your education level. And sadly, there's also a long history of racism and redlining in auto insurance and both homeowners insurance. And that's still around, and when auto insurance companies use all these non-driving factors, that's kind of an old legacy of redlining, and it has similar effects, unfortunately.
We're going to go to
the lines and pick up a few callers. Before we do, I did want to just ask you, because Chris Rock, the comedian, has this comedy routine where he talks about, insurance is there in case, sugar, honey, iced tea happens. And it always seems like for many of us, we don't think that our policy matches up to what we pay in many cases. Do you think that is really a real issue, that we're not getting the value of what we pay in? Especially when we look at, homes like, for instance, in the flooded plain areas. We had folks that lost their, homes in Boley's Quarters, when the hurricane came through and flooded all their homes out, and the insurance didn't come through for them. As a matter of fact, the state of Maryland had to come through for a lot of those homeowners. Are folks really getting the value of what insurance is supposed to do?
No, in a lot of cases, they are not. Well, before we go into this more depth, I should mention flood insurance briefly. Flood insurance is an entirely separate thing from homeowners insurance. Homeowners insurance will cover damage resulting, like wind damage resulting from a storm, like and fallen trees, break-ins, and burglaries, and other such things. It will not cover damage resulting from flooding. You need to have an entirely separate flood insurance policy in order to do that. And in some places, like low-lying floodplains and places close to the water, the government will require you, if you have a mortgage, to have flood insurance. But floods can happen outside those places as well. And so we think it's wise, if you think you're all vulnerable for flooding, to have flood insurance. Sadly, most people aren't aware that you need flood insurance to protect yourself against these water damage. And a lot of them, sadly, only find out after the fact. But going back to your earlier question, No, a lot of people are not getting the insurance coverage they deserve. One of the things that insurance companies often do, which is both unethical and illegal, they're not supposed to do this, but a lot of them do it anyway, is they try to wiggle out of paying people like the claims that they are legitimately owed. For example, like say if someone's house is damaged in a storm, it's like $30,000 worth of damage, the company may send out an adjuster which has like looks at the damage and marks it like artificially low when it's really the damage is $30,000 worth, but the company doesn't want to pay out that much, and so the adjuster marks it as like, okay, $10,000. And then this often produces like a long back and forth fight between the consumer and the insurance company. And since the insurance company is much bigger and has a lot more resources and can hire more lawyers and stuff, it's not an equal fight. Another thing that we found out is that a lot of insurance companies will try to unfairly delay or deny claims, even if they're justified. They may make you fill out excessive paperwork. They may make you jump through a lot of hoops to provide information about your policy and your home. Or they may just not respond to you quickly and leave you hanging for like weeks and weeks. And the goal of this is to make it so people get discouraged, so they either accept a lower payment amount than what they're owed or that they just give up. And again, this is illegal. Insurance companies are supposed to look at their claims and thoroughly evaluate them to make sure they're legitimate and not based on fraud, but they're also supposed to promptly pay them. And if they don't, they can be sued and they can pay fines and big fines, and they can even have be shut down and say, and the government can say, you can no longer operate in this state. So if you think that you're being unfairly delayed or denied, if your claim is being unfairly delayed or denied, reach out to the Maryland Insurance Administration, tell them, and file a complaint, because it's their job to stand up for consumers.
All right, we're going to go to the lines, family, and I'm going to come back to you and talk about the lawyers, because this is a litigious state, you know, and, you know, after about 12 accidents that I've had, sir, with my former wife had 12 accidents, an adjuster once told me, said, sir, the insurance industry is not in the business of paying out claims, and I didn't understand that, and you're just kind of just really validating that they don't want to pay out these claims and do everything possible to avoid paying out these claims. Let's go to the lines and let's hear from you, our listeners, and there is a line available for you. 410-481-1010 is the number. We're talking to Mr. DeLong with the Consumer Federation of America about auto insurance. Caller, you're on with Patrick Henderson's Meet the People. I have a question or comment for Mr. DeLong.
Yeah, this is Brother Carlos.
Yes, sir.
Having worked over 30 years in this industry, I can tell you without a doubt that the use of the credit score and other factors is just a subterfuge for redlining. The insurance companies cannot, they have been sued for redlining in certain neighborhoods, racially and otherwise. So they develop that credit scoring type of qualifications or what have you, or non-qualifications for their policies, which is simply, like I say, a subterfuge or a Trojan horse for redlining. Now, in terms of the insurance commissioner, I've found that the current insurance commissioners, as opposed to the ones that were here like a few years ago, like Edward Berain, but the current insurance commissioners are simply lapdogs for the insurance companies. Insurance companies exert so much power and are able to influence over the insurance commissioners that the public interest is not being served or will not be served unless the legislature gets involved and changes the whole concept of how the regulations, insurance regulations, and the rates are applied. You would note that going as far as the discrimination is concerned, you take that corridor going straight out Liberty Road down through Baltimore out to Randallstown, and you will have an example of how the redlining works and how the insurance rates are applied and unequitably to the black community. It's almost like in the Godfather, they said, sell it to the ends and the spicks. and this is what they do to us in the insurance industry. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for your comment. What do you think about that, Mr. DeLong, in reference to him talking about, like, Mr. Al Redmer, you know, being a lapdog for the insurance industry? Has that been really your notion or your observation that the former commissioners, can't speak about the current commissioner because she's just really gotten in the seat, but I'm talking about former commissioners. Have they been lapdogs for the industry?
It depends a lot on the insurance commissioner, but in Maryland, a lot of insurance commissioners have been kind of lapdogs, maybe a bit strong, but they've been really sympathetic to the insurance industry, not at all friendly to consumers, and they haven't really done much. A lot of the past commissioners had sort of like a hands-off approach, like, oh, I don't want to get the insurance industry mad, so I don't want to like take steps to really combat unfair discrimination or ban these non-driving factors in auto insurance, because that would be a big fight, and I might lose. So they just didn't do a whole lot, and that was a little bit less bad back then. But now, with rising auto insurance costs, rising homeowners insurance costs, consumers are really, really hurting. There's also the problem of the revolving door. A lot of people who work in the insurance departments, as like the commissioners, they either come from the insurance industry, like that's where they have their background, so they aren't really sympathetic to consumers. They don't really think about it that much. Or when they leave their job as an insurance commissioner, they then go work as the insurance in the insurance industry as either an executive or a lobbyist or something else along those lines. There's some people at NAMIC who are very talented. NAMIC is the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies, which is this big insurance industry trade group that lobbies for them. And they're very smart, very talented. They used to be insurance regulators, and now they're working for the insurance industry. So that's kind of the issue of the revolving door and a pretty big conflict of interest. So,
So it's like if you play nice and play good with the industry, there's perks. You may get a nice, six-figure salary job somewhere, lobbying, a cushy lobbying position, or inside, the belly of the beast, working on the behalf of the industry. And that's we see a lot of that here in the state of Maryland, sir. We see a lot of that.
It's a very bad system, and so I think we need stronger, anti-lobbying laws and measures to try and stop the revolving door. There's a bunch of good people at the state insurance departments, staff, and who are trying to do their best to protect consumers. But another issue is that a lot of the Maryland Insurance Administration, they could use more staff and more funding, because insurance is a huge, big area of the economy. There's a huge amount of companies. There's a lot of different policies. It's really complicated. There's a lot to keep track of and manage and regulate. And so they could really use more funding and more staff and more resources, because there may be like injustices going on, but if they have like not many people working there and not much funds or expertise or other things, they may not have the ability to like stand up for consumers.
I think that's something that we can definitely bring up to the insurance commissioner, who will be on the Larry Young Morning Show next Monday. That's a great point to bring up, and we'll ask that question. And I encourage as well your organization, if they want to get in on the conversation as well, Monday from 10 to 11, the Larry Young Morning Show, they can call in as well. And pose those questions to the commissioner as well. I think that's a very pertinent concern. Let's see if we grab some more callers for you, Mr. DeLong. Actually, family, we're being joined by our distinguished host, Mary Hughes, who is out and about in the community. Good afternoon, my dear queen. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to all. I want to thank this young man for being on the line. I got a question. You said the insurance companies have a very strong lobbying effort in Annapolis. Are there certain legislators that have been very diligent for the consumers and not for the insurance companies? Number two question, has your organization presented bills to the legislature for consideration to be passed?
Those are very good questions, and thank you. Yes, there's been a few legislators who have stood up for consumers and have pushed to try and do insurance reform. Senator Alonzo Washington has been championing consumers and pushing for ways to make insurance more affordable and accessible. Senator Washington, we've worked with him. He's introduced bills in the past. Delegate Natalie Ziegler from the upper part of Montgomery County, and Delegate Laura Charcutian has been interested as well. We have worked on a few bills with various legislators in the past. Some of the bills that we've worked on, a bill to ban credit scores in auto insurance, a bill to ban the use of other non-driving factors in auto insurance, a bill earlier this year, we had a bill with Delegate Natalie Ziegler to ban auto insurance premium increases after not-at-fault accidents. We think it's really unfair that people should be seeing their premiums get hiked after a car accident in which they're not responsible for. And it got a good hearing, but unfortunately the insurance industry managed to sway a bunch of legislators to vote against it, and so it unfortunately didn't make it out of committee. With regard to us other things, there is a lot of legislators. The people on the insurance committee, the legislators there, they tend to often come from the insurance industry or have a perspective that's kind of shaped by that. So they often can be like some pretty big obstacles to like major reform. So they need to hear from you. They need to hear from your constituents saying, my auto insurance costs are going up. This is unacceptable. What are you doing to fix this?
One other question. The Baltimore City delegation, how do you find them to be open to changes for the consumers, or do you meet with that delegation, or do you just meet with legislatures in general?
We have met with the Baltimore delegation before, and I believe we actually got their support for a few bills. Unfortunately, it wasn't quite enough to both move them out of committee. It's not just that we would like to urge people to contact them and urge their support for various proposals to make auto insurance more affordable and ban the use of credit score, and not just do support like, say, issue one statement, but make this like a top priority. Say your constituents are hurting. This is a reform that can really reduce costs and help people who are living paycheck to paycheck. We need action now.
Very good. And one last thing, young man, I think Linda brought it up. If we could have a meeting where we could basically have Baltimore City residents in particular to come, because the legislature will be convening in January, would come and have these questions and have this information brought to them, then we could have a strong coalition of writing, emailing, telephone calling, or whatever, to the legislators. I can't imagine that with the credit score, why anyone would, a legislator, would not vote against that. And you said the insurance company has a strong lobbying effort there. Bottom line, let's just deal with it. They have money that they pass around. I bet you if I were to look at their campaign contributions that the insurance companies have truly given to many of these legislators, because I can't imagine anyone voting for to keep a credit score as one of the requirements for insurance. I can't imagine that. So there's something that's not right. And I think when you say a strong lobbying, it normally it deals with doing favors for certain legislators or doing, and the people that you mentioned that you've been successful working with are not from Baltimore City. Now, you might have worked with or talked to the Baltimore City delegation, but the ones that you, Montgomery County and whatever, those who have been strong advocates against the insurance company, and you correct me if I'm wrong, were not from Baltimore.
Well, some of them are from Montgomery County. Some are from Baltimore. I need to go back and I can put together like a bigger, longer list. But yeah, we could really use more support. We can use every legislature we can, and we haven't seen as much support from Baltimore legislators as we'd like.
Thank you. I needed to hear that. Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate your answers.
Yeah, Mr. DeLong, we're going to go back to the lines, but I think that it's important that if you don't already have something in place like this, I think Mary just really homed in on something. Does the Consumer Federation of America have like a report card post-date that allows us to be able to understand, you know, what the landscape is in reference to lobbying for these issues. In other words, I think that it's important to know those delegates and senators who are in support of better regulation and better rates for consumers. And I think that in some cases, some of those insurance companies need to be evaluated in like a report card available on your site that allows us to say, okay, this company versus the other company, you know, is really doing things to bring better rates and better regulation to the states, and they're not predatory to our community. I think something like that would really help to guide us and navigate us in some ways to understand the environment, the landscape, because we don't know those delegates and senators that are lobbying against or for. And again, we don't know those true good actors in the insurance industry. That's if there are any. I hate to say it, there probably are not because of the way the predatory industry is. But if there are good players and actors in the insurance industry, that we should acknowledge them and bring them to the front so that consumers can make a better selection and better choice. Do you not agree that that's something that should be done, or if you're not already doing?
Yes, I agree. Unfortunately, we don't have a report card yet on specific Maryland legislators or insurance companies. Part of the reason for this is that at Consumer Federation America, we're a relatively small group. We've got about 30 employees, and with regard to insurance, there's three people working on insurance. I'm one of them, and we're also responsible for 51 states, so it's a lot to keep track of. Ideally, we'd have one person for every state and one person focusing just on Maryland. But the idea of a report card on Maryland legislators is a good one, and we'll see what we can pull together. Insurance companies,
love to share that.
If there are any good actors, most of the large insurance companies are not good actors. They're not doing well. They use credit scores to charge people higher premiums. They use a whole bunch of other non-driving factors. They do all these unfair practices to try and delay or deny good claims. There are some insurance companies that are less bad, but they're also a lot smaller, and that may just be because they may just be better because they are significantly smaller. So it's not like this. We can say, unfortunately, these insurance companies are bad, this one is better. It's more like the insurance system is bad and we need to change it.
I appreciate that. And we look forward to you sharing the information with this program. We will definitely get it out to the community. And we're going to look for ways to really work with you into just really educating and mobilizing the community so that we get you that support. We know how it is when you go into Annapolis. I've testified on many bills, many times testifying solo by myself. So I understand that a lot of times when these bills come up like this, there's not enough public participation to really push up against the lobbying machine of the auto insurance and the insurance industry in general. And so we're going to try to help you to mobilize the community to do that. And as long as the community allows us to continue to come on these airwaves, we will continue to pass that information off to the community so that they are informed as well. Let's go to the lines and see if we grab another caller. The line is open for you. 410-481-1010 is the number. We're speaking to Michael DeLong, who is with the Consumer Federation of America, and we're talking about auto insurance. Yes, caller, sir. You're on the line.
Hey, Jason, how you doing, first of all, man?
Yes, sir.
What I simply want to say is, one thing for sure, the rich people own insurance companies. I want to say this. The rich people own insurance companies. Now, how you think rich people got their money? They got it off the people. The people. They got it off the people who rent their insurances or buy their insurances. Now, number two is, if the rich people had any thought of a thought at all, period, they would understand this, how they got their money, first of all, from people. Who will rent your policies? The reason why I keep repeating myself, because I want them to hear this real good. People who rent your policies for years. Now they turn around and get in an accident, and you turn around and raise the premium on them that they can't afford it. You done lost that, man. Okay, go on down the line again. You got other people. Maybe do a little small glitch. You go up on their premium. They've been paying you enough money all that time to support anything that they get in, any accident that they get in, anything that they touch. It should be already paid because they've been paying you. What do the people pay y'all for? So just to look stupid and pay you when something happens, you got to pay double? No. Listen, let me tell you something. Rich people that own those insurance companies, you got it wrong. Way, way back, people were stupid, but they ain't stupid now. Let me tell you something. I done seen old ladies, old ladies, driving down the street with Virginia tags. You know why? I asked her that. I said, why are you doing this? She said, I can't afford Maryland insurance. She said, I was on Maryland insurance for years, and look what they done to me. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, way, way back then, when you put a person on the other side of the wall and throw meatballs at them, now they throw bricks at you. You can't fool people with that no more. Listen, if you want to have a insurance company and you want to keep it open and running, understand who pays you. It's the people. Give them better premium, and people, all of them will come back. But right now, as long as y'all got those high rates, you're going to lose. You was rich, you're going to be poor. You're going to be poor. I was right over everybody else for going up with those high prices. Now, you can go ahead and do it whatever way you want. You don't even have to even listen to me. But I'm going to tell you again, the people is who pay you, and that's what you better take care of. Drop your prices. And then all the people come back. You wouldn't have an epidemic in Maryland with Virginia tags running all over the place. And if you want to ask me right now at this point, it's smart to leave Virginia tags in the city. Because guess what? They're now driving cautious. Because they don't hit nobody. They don't have insurance. So they're driving better than the Maryland drivers now. So which one do y'all want to pick? Which one do you want to pick, man?
Appreciate your comment. Only because of time, I'm trying to see if we can grab in one or two more callers. But I appreciate your comment. And Mr. DeLong, you know, speaking of that point, do you think that there is a better product in a company that is publicly traded versus a company that's privately traded? In other words, we know that a lot of these insurance companies, you know, they're traded on Wall Street. And at the end of the day, they want to make a dividend. They want to make a return. They want to pay value back to their stockholders. Whereas there may be some companies that are more privately held and may not be subjected to, you know, the board and the stockholders. Do you find that there is a difference between those companies?
I'd have to go do some research to be sure, but I don't think there's a huge difference between the privately traded insurance companies and the publicly owned ones. They're all very large corporations. They operate on similar sort of methods. They use similar factors like credit scores and other things. I don't think that, like, publicly traded companies, unfortunately, are substantially a lot better than the privately traded ones. So.
Okay. All right, let's go to the lines. And, again, if you want to get in before we let Mr. DeLong go, 410-481-1010 is the phone number. Caller, you have a question or comment for Mr. DeLong with the Consumer Federation of America. Caller, you're on. Sean, we get that caller up?
Yes, good afternoon. Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. So I'm concerned about the charges. It's not just the insurance. It's, you know, although we're talking about insurance, it's the registration fees. The MVA fees have just almost doubled in the last 5 or 6 years. I heard on the news that I think the transfer the registration cost you a couple of hundred dollars now. And in Virginia, it's like 40, I think, and they say 35 in Delaware. So it's really ridiculous. And they're driving people, I think, out of the state. So anyway, my question is, so if you were to form a small business like a LLC and you wanted insurance for, say, your vehicles, how do they rate you when it's a company and not an individual, or do they go by the person who starts the company and charge accordingly?
Okay. Sorry, could you repeat that? You're saying...
You're starting an LLC. You're starting a small operation, maybe you're just yourself. It might be a sole proprietorship. And you need, you're going to be doing moving and hauling or whatever, but you need a vehicle, a truck, or a van, or both. And it's the vehicle's in the company name. How do they rate you? Do they rate you on the owner of the company, or do they... The company has no history, but the owner of the company does. So is that how they rate you, by ownership as opposed to a new startup company? You know how they charge you rates.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd have to, sorry, I'm going to do more research. I think they have ways of like trying to determine how risky you are to insure. I think they first off do start rating you on your ownership if you're like a brand new startup. But I have to look into that. And also, you're not wrong about registration fees and all sorts of other fees going up, and it's being a burden for the consumer. And one of the things that we actually pointed out also is like, it's incredibly unfair for the state to be requiring that people have auto insurance and then harming them if they can't afford auto insurance, which is already extremely unaffordable. We've actually found out that you can wind up paying hundreds of dollars in fees and if you don't have auto insurance and you somehow get stopped. And again, that adds up and it creates like a vicious cycle. Like someone can't afford auto insurance, but they have to get to work, so they're driving without insurance. They get stopped. They get fined for being without auto insurance, and now they're even deeper in the hole. And it's just a really bad thing. So we don't think
it's a rabbit hole.
We don't think proposals to like increase fees or penalties for driving without auto insurance. That's just being more unfair and cruel and making the problem worse.
Okay, so maybe this is not your purview. And a follow-up question. I'm old enough to remember if you got a parking ticket or a non-moving violation, the ticket price didn't change. If you paid for it in 30 days or you paid for it in 1 year, and then, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, the state of Maryland started tacking on penalty charges every month, and they had private collection companies going after it. Yeah, so my question is, it's been almost 14 to 15 years, sir.
Now, I was saying that's why a lot of people are leaving because of the fact that what you're just pointing out right there, a lot of folks are leaving registration from Maryland because of those factors, because they're being, penalized with increasing fees on fines and penalties, and then it gets out of control and they can't afford to pay it, and then they end up losing their registration.
Exactly. So let me look, this informality. I think it's probably been 14 or 15 years since the state of Maryland or the MDA had an amnesty program where they eliminated the fees and the penalties and just charged the original ticket price. Do you foresee something like that happening again soon?
That would be a good idea, I think, to basically eliminate a lot of excessive fees and just say if you have like a ticket, here's like a modest penalty that you have to pay. I don't know how likely it is to happen anytime soon because one of the unfortunate things that we've also found out is that a bunch of places in Maryland, both the state government and the county and various county governments and local governments, have sort of started using these fees as like a revenue stream. They've gotten dependent on it, and so they're charging people more, and it's an increasing cost, and it's also they're often taking money from people who can least afford it. So.
Yes, I understand. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, caller. We appreciate your comment. And Mr. DeLong, I'd like to task you, if possible, we'd like to make you a regular throughout the year to come back on and continue this conversation. But I'd like to task you with just one of the questions that was brought up in reference to business insurance to really find out is are some of those same disparities that we see in personal auto insurance, whether or not those who are starting businesses, because many times we have minority business enterprises that are starting businesses, and of course they have fleet and vehicle needs, and we'd really like to understand whether or not there is a disparity between, an MBE, especially an MBE, versus, someone starting a business that may be their counterpart, and them paying a difference in business rates for insurance. So we'd really like to get to understand that, if possible. Family, if you'd like to join us, you can still join us. We have a few more minutes here. 410-481-1010 is the number. Again, 410-481-1010 is the number. I said that I had a question to you, Mr. DeLong, in reference to lawyers. Because Maryland is such a litigious state, I've been told that there's three heavily litigious states, New York, California, and Maryland. And because of that, in many cases, folks are saying that is a huge contributing factor, and I know that I'm going to get hit by, because we have attorneys that listen to us and have great respect for this program, and we have great respect for them, but the ambulance chasers,
you know, or the so-called ambulance chasers. And I hate to use that disparaging term, but the ones that are, again, going after these particular liabilities and claims, is that also part of the problem, and is that more predatory towards our community? Because I tend to see a lot more advertising and billboards for ambulance chasing type of attorneys than I do in some of the more affluent communities. You know, is that a factor, again, us being such a litigious state that's really driving up insurance costs in some of these states, especially Maryland?
Lawsuits and lawyers are a factor in insurance costs, driving up insurance costs, but not a very big one. So they likely increase insurance costs by a little bit, but from what we've seen, auto insurance costs and homeowner insurance costs are going up, not just in Maryland, but all over the country in many, many states. And they're especially going up in Florida. And Florida, I can tell you, recently put in place a whole bunch of big reforms to try and make it much harder to file any kind of lawsuit against an insurance company. And the insurance costs are also going up a lot in Texas, and Texas is not a very friendly state to lawsuits. So this is like a small factor, but it's a relatively small one. What we're also concerned about is that in a lot of cases, the insurance industry will say frivolous lawsuits are responsible for rising insurance costs. They don't provide any actual evidence to support that, and then they try and get all these reforms passed to make it more difficult for people to file lawsuits against insurance companies. And we at Consumer Federation America, we oppose frivolous lawsuits and insurance fraud. We think that there can be lawyers that can be predatory towards certain people and communities, but also that lawsuits can be an essential part of trying to ensure that people are treated fairly. If an insurance company has, like, unfairly delayed or denied your claim or is ripping you off in some way, you should be able to take them to court and have your case heard and get a good judgment. And what often these companies and their backers try to do is just basically do some big change that makes it just more difficult across the board for people to file lawsuits against insurance companies, for people to get payments for any injustice they've suffered. And that has not worked. It hasn't really lowered insurance costs. In the few states where it's been tried, it's just made it more difficult for people to get, like, their legitimate damages, and it's also quite unfair because people should be able to access the legal justice system and be able to get what they're owed.
So would you say that lawyers then, in some cases, do support consumers as to obtaining and getting the benefits from which they paid into sometimes, knowing that the insurance adjusters and the insurance, you know, companies tend to buck back on claims? In some cases, the lawyers provide that check and balance to get you access to your money, to your claim, correct?
Or no. Lawyers play an important role. They're part of we need them. So
okay. Well, let's go to the lines, and again, hopefully we can grab another call or two. We're talking to Mr. Michael DeLong, part of the Consumer Federation of America. We're talking about auto insurance. All right, so we have no callers. If you want to join in,
Jason?
If you have the opportunity, you want to join in, I'm going to start wrapping this up, though. Yes, Linda?
Yes. Yeah, and so a question has arisen with respect to all of the people who use the roadway for transportation. It's just not trucks, cars, and motorcycles. We now have room being made for cyclists and recreational usage, and what seems to be the temperature regarding requiring insurance and registration for these types and classifications of road users.
Insurance classification for like motorcycles and cyclists and other things. You're asking about that.
Yeah, has there been any conversation about requiring registration and insurance and or other types of fees and assessments to cover the safety as well as the use of the road by those alternate conveyances?
I am actually not at all familiar with that. I'd have to go look at this and get back to you. From what I understand, basically – sorry. From what I understand, there's motorcycle insurance, although it can be quite expensive, but also it can be like it depends a lot because motorcycles are not as like worth as much as cars, but also driving on a motorcycle is extremely dangerous, if I do say so myself, but it's something I'll have to look into.
Well, excuse me, sir, Mr. DeLong, I'm really speaking to bicyclists.
Bicyclists.
And scooter riders and those types of conveyances.
Bicyclists and scooter riders. I will have to look into this, but I don't think there's been much talk of, like, insurance companies doing this or offering insurance for them because they just don't see, like, there's a lot of money in it. The insurance companies tend to want to insure and cover things that are larger, where they can collect more premiums and make more profits, and I just don't think they've given much attention to, like, cyclists or scooters or anything else.
And the problem is with the city's Complete Streets program with the Department of Transportation retransforming these streets into bicycle lanes, we're starting to see more bicycle traffic, not in the way that they're thinking they're going to get in reference to traffic. This is not a bike city, but we're also starting to see some of the liability behind it, the accidents and things that are happening in the process. So one of the things that we were looking at is if we're going to push for more bikes to be on the road, that there should be regulation, licensing, and even insurance. And we were wondering whether or not the industry has even been talking about cities like Baltimore that are part of the federal Complete Streets program that are transforming these cities into more bikeable cities, but they're not looking at the liability that it's causing to motorists and pedestrians and et cetera, to our community. So that's why we really asked that question. Mr. DeLong, as we wrap up, we want to know what are our marching orders, if you can wrap it up as short as you can. What would be our marching orders for us to prepare for the next 90-day legislative session in reference to auto insurance?
Yeah. Your orders are to reach out to your state legislator. You can easily there's a website you can do called Find Your Legislature and contact them, call and email them and say, I want you to take measures to lower auto insurance costs. I want you to ban credit scores and auto insurance. I don't want auto insurance companies to be able to charge me more based on my zip code or my gender or whether I went to college. I want the auto insurance companies to only rate me based on my driving record. It's relatively easy to reach out to them, and if they hear from a lot of you guys, that will hopefully have a big impact. Also, reach out to the Maryland Insurance Administration. They have a phone number. They've got an email. And tell them that you want them to collect more information on rising insurance costs, make it public, and strongly support the banning of all these non-driving factors in auto insurance. Say that it's unfair, it's harmful, it's contributing to really high insurance costs, and it needs to stop. And if you are being unfairly treated by your insurance company, don't hesitate to complain. File a complaint with the Maryland Insurance Administration. Contact your state delegate or state senator and demand that they do something about it, because a lot of the time the insurance industry relies on people not knowing what their rights are and not speaking up for themselves. But if people organize and exercise their power, we can make real progress.
And do you have any information to give out in reference to getting in contact with your organization? Would you like to share that?
Yeah, if you have questions about insurance or any way I can help, please feel free to get in contact with me. My email is mdelong, D-E-L-O-N-G, at consumerfed.org. And you can also just Google Michael DeLong, Consumer Federation of America, and I can reach out to me and I can try and offer advice. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't offer like specific legal advice, but I can offer you like general insights on this is what to do if you're dealing with this insurance. Here are some people that you can reach out to. Here are some examples of like insurance costs and unfair discrimination, and I can try and give general help.
Well, we appreciate you extending that out to the community. Family, we've been speaking to Mr. Michael DeLong, who is the Research and Advocacy Associate for the Consumer Federation of America, and he works on fairness in auto insurance. And you've just given us just a wealth of just a plethora of information and just really have opened up our eyes today. And we really appreciate you coming on the Patrick Henderson's Meet the People radio program and sharing this information with our community today. And this won't be the last time that we hear from you, Mr. DeLong. You are now part of the Patrick Henderson's Meet the People family. We're going to tap into you whenever possible, especially as we get closer to the 90-day session in Annapolis. We're going to mobilize and be there for your group and the other 250 organizations that are fighting this issue. We're going to be there present in attendance in the next 90-day session looking to change the dynamics of the auto insurance industry as we know it. And just thank you for your time again, Mr. DeLong. Ladies, anything to wrap up with Mr. DeLong really quick? Any of our hosts or... I guess not. Everybody's on mute or everybody's doing something in the background. Again, thank you, Mr. DeLong. We appreciate your time. Family, you've been listening to the Patrick Henderson's Meet the People radio program. Yes, sir. Thank you. You've been listening to Patrick Henderson's Meet the People radio program for each and every Monday right here on 1010 WOLB, where information is power. And family, we will be back next week, same black channel, same black time. Make sure you go out there and do something special for someone other than your own selfish self. Remember that. Family, we love you. Be blessed. Be safe. If you need us, reach out to us. 443-682-5586. Again, my number is 443-682-5586. And if you'd like to get a copy of the program, reach out to me. I will email you a copy of today's program because I know it was very powerful and informative, and I will try to repost it on our Facebook page as well. Thank you, Sean, the greatest engineer in Radio 1, and thank you to the team always being present for our conversation. And thank you to the listeners for joining us here on our program. Till next week, peace.
The new 1010 WOLB with talk in the day and soul at night.